Hey everyone, I'm Alex Cantor.
And I'm Lily Rosenthal.
Welcome to our podcast, Hot Pastrami.
We are coming to you from our favorite booth at Cantor's Deli here in LA.
We're going to invite some of our friends to join us for a chat over some matzo ball soup and pastrami sandwiches.
So join us for new episodes of Hot Pastrami every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. See you soon. Bye.
This cat just came in here to just let off toxic fire. Oh my God.
It's that's geological.
She sent an email.
Can't believe your cat crop dusted you. That's crazy. Sean just lit a match in his room. I've never even smelled a cat. I've lived with so many cats. I can't think of a time when I was like, oh, the cat farted.
With dogs, it happens a lot.
All the time.
Yeah.
But cats, I've never. What are you feeding that thing, Sean?
It's on the Roni diet, tomatoes, arugula, and pesto.
A little salmon every now and then.
We mix it up. We give her a variety of cat foods to see what she likes and stuff like that. But whatever this flavor is,
yeah,
guaranteed.
Feline flatulence. Never thought it'd be a match lighting level issue.
Yeah, no kidding.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I am your big daddy and I am going to kiss the boo-boo, Sean Roney.
I'm Edwin James, Vance Refrigeration.
And with us as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
If these walls could talk, they would say, this is a magical place. You are safe here. We have talking walls. We're not going to eat you.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week we got a special request from Bridget.
Yes, Bridget asked us to do an episode specifically on Cafe Disco. She's also requested Scott's Tots. But anyway, I'll read a little bit from her message and we can jump into it. Let's see. She says... I'm currently rewatching Cafe Disco, and there's so much happening that I would love to hear your perspectives and drops for this episode. Andy and Kelly dance off, Aaron and Michael Bond, Oscar's dancing, in parentheses, head nodding. It's like an Office middle school dance episode.
Yeah, so true. I mean, Cafe Disco comes after the Michael Scott Paper Company arc. This is season 5, episode 27. It aired May 7th, 2009. Directed by Randall Einhorn, written by Warren Lieberstein and Halstead Sullivan. And it comes after Casual Friday and before Company Picnic, which is the season finale for season 5.
Another reason we wanted to talk about this episode, or why I'm excited to talk about this episode, is this is one of our long-lost test recordings when we were first starting the show.
Yeah,
this is one of our original topics where we kind of disagreed, and it was a fun episode, but it wasn't ready to release because we were still practicing, basically, or still getting used to recording together. And I'm excited. We've alluded to it a couple times in previous episodes, so I'm excited to get back into that debate.
Finally dig in and kind of have this discussion again. Yeah. I mean, it's true. There's a couple of fun storylines in this episode. We've got, you know, Michael still has the lease on the Michael Scott Paper Company office on the first floor of the Scranton Business Park.
So that's a 30-year fixed lease.
Just like his condo.
Carol hooking it up again.
Oh, cool. Carpenter ants.
These walls are paper thin. And he's been going down there to dance and blow off some steam and drink espresso. There's now no furniture in the office. All the wonderful decoration that was there when it was
there's
the
a lay. There's still a lay.
Oh, okay.
Respect the lay. Right. Respect the lay, Sean.
Pardon me.
And a lava lamp, I believe.
That's right. Yes,
and a lava 90s lamp. Stereo.
And an espresso machine.
Yeah.
And a limbo.
Espresso, as he calls it.
Espresso. He says espresso, and then he says it correctly later in the episode. They didn't. They didn't quite carry that joke through the episode. It was close. It was pretty close.
But we also, this is also a really great Erin episode. We get to spend some more time with Erin. And remember that she was only just introduced during the Michael Scott Paper Company arc. So she's still fairly new to us. And we also get a really lovely little storyline between Dwight and Phyllis.
It's a combo we don't see that often interacting that much. But boy, they get a lot of screen time in this one for sure.
Definitely, definitely. And with Erin, we also have the budding romance between Erin and Andy.
Sort of, though. I mean, it feels like they're setting up Kelly and Andy almost in this episode.
That's right. I guess you could kind of make it,
you know,
an argument for that. Yeah. Totally.
That's what it seems like is going to happen, the way they're sort of flirty and dancing with each other.
Right. Well, hey, she's just dancing with her friends, y'all.
That's right.
This is a fantastic cold open. This is where we get Dwight paying Erin to pretend that she won a art contest.
Oh yes,
to prank Pam, which I've always thought is so funny. And like watching it again, like it while it does seem mean spirited, is Dwight thinking that he's just like buddies and pals with Pam and pranking her like Jim pranks him? And what? How do you read that scene?
I think there are a couple moments like this where they just get the kind of prey on the new person. Like, I'm thinking of, I suppose this is later on in the show, but in Koi Pond, when Kevin and Meredith set up Erin to ask Michael if he made a big splash at the meeting.
Right, right.
She goes, "Oh my God, that was so mean. I didn't mean to say it." And then Kevin turns to Erin and goes, "I'm going to kill you." They're using Erin because she's so new.
Yes.
Right, right.
And Dwight, it feels very malicious by Dwight, mainly because he wants to see him walk up and hand her money that he paid her to do that. It was clearly mean spirited. He's the only one laughing at this prank, and in a very evil way. He's cackling.
Mad at it at all. I think it was so funny, so perfect. He only does it for a split second, and then he reveals the prank. He doesn't let them like revel in that or anything like that. I love too that Erin just says, "I still don't understand why you had me say that." Like there's something really funny about that.
Dwight is intentionally making fun of Pam's failure,
right?
And poking at her insecurities in a very, very specific targeted way, which like I feel like. I'm trying to think of Jim's pranks that do that with Dwight, of specifically making fun of failure of Dwight's. Like, they never, ever felt that way.
Work bus.
And part of that's how the show.
It's at the end of the show, but he, you know, the extended prank relies on Dwight not being able to have kids or whatever, or thinking that he can't have kids.
Right. That's true.
I don't know. Anyway, let's keep
going. We digress. I noticed, Sean, you said it's a great cold open.
I love this the cold episode. Open.
You did not say this is a great episode, which you've said every time we've done an episode.
Well, we'll get to that.
Okay. All right.
But I don't like the end of this episode, but I actually do like a good most of this episode. I know that in the past I've said before, like, oh, it's my least favorite episode. And that may be true just because of the sins committed in the end of this episode. But
you all took a life here today. You did. The life of the party.
Yeah. But I can't deny that I actually really enjoy the whole first, I don't know, three quarters of this episode. I really do like it. So I do love this cold open. And we have talked about Dwight and Pam in a previous episode before. So I was just rewatching this scene after talking about Dwight and Pam's relationship. I wondered if Dwight thinks he's kind of being buddies with Pam by playing this prank. Because also Dwight doesn't understand play sometimes. Right? No. You know what I mean? No. With the football cold open where he's tackling people and stuff
spanking
like that.
Spanking Luke.
Yeah, spanking Andy. Yeah, right.
Or not so, Luke, sorry. Spanking
yeah, that's
Andy.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah.
a few spanking scenes in that part of the room.
It's often difficult for me to tell which situations are a joke, he says to Michael at one point. He's like, if it was a joke, you would be laughing. Are you laughing? Or are you smiling? And he says, impossible. I can't see myself.
You are not.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyways, moving on. We get the documentary crew busting in on Michael dancing alone in the Michael Scott Paper Company office. And I gotta say, man, it's just, I love watching Steve Carell dance. It's so, so funny. Yeah,
he's got moves. We haven't seen him break this loose since Booze Cruise, you know?
He loves to dance. We love to watch him dance.
That's right. He says, you know, I actually dance all the time, tiptoeing around corporate. It is a ballet. When I'm breaking all the rules, I am breakdancing. And espresso.
Do you guys know which song this is? This first song?
At the Car Wash. That
yeah,
one?
That's right. Can you guys
Rolls
name-
Royce.
As an early trivia challenge, can you name all the songs featured in this episode?
Whoa. Okay, At the Car Wash, Everybody yeah. Dance Now. I don't know if that's yeah. the right name of the song.
Yep. It's Gonna Make You Sweat
by CNC yeah, okay. Music Factory.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. YMCA. Mm-hmm.
Yep, YMCA by the Village People.
Yeah, YMCA. Oh, God.
I don't know. I know what the other two songs are. I can like sing them for you, but like I don't know what they're
oh,
called.
Please. Well, please sing. I'll like, accept that as an answer.
I know who you are. I don't know exactly how it goes. But yeah, when they come, then Jim and Pam come in at the end.
I think it's.
I'm trying to look this up right
well,
now.
Well, I've got
the other one. Yeah, that I know of is this is one of my favorite moments in the whole episode is when Phyllis goes down to join Michael and she goes, what the hell? And when she walks in, there's that music and that lady's like, woo! Like it's
yeah.
It's such a perfectly sort of scored intro. Yeah, much better than the way I sang it just now.
The other songs that we hear are Cat People, Putting Out Fire by David Bowie, Boy Hangover by Bonnie McKee.
Oh.
That's Aaron.
Boy,
yeah.
That's when just Kelly and Aaron start dancing.
That's right. I'll Do You Like a Truck by Gio Da Silva.
Really?
That, yeah. It's.
I can't believe that's the name of
it. It's the name of the song. And then Various Disgraces by The Blam. I think that they're missing a song there, but I'm sure that that our listeners will help us out with that if there is a missing one. I'm taking this off of the Wikipedia page for Cafe Disco. But yeah, anyways. I love this storyline of Michael trying to get people downstairs and get them to have some fun. I really enjoy the times that he comes upstairs and makes his little speech.
Well, and this whole thing stems of how much he loved having lunch with Pam and Ryan.
Right.
During the Michael Scott, because he has this like, oh, Dunder Mifflin has a strict no lunch with the boss policy, which obviously isn't real. And yeah. Everyone uses it to avoid having lunch with Michael. And the shot of him just sitting with Pam and Ryan
eating pizza,
as they're laughing, eating pizza is great. And it's sort of obviously as Michael looks back on all that with such fondness, and here he is trying to recreate something like that.
Yeah.
He also says that it mysteriously began right around the time his predecessor stepped out.
Oh God. Yeah. So everyone was having lunch with Ed Truck then, I guess.
Right.
Or Charles Minor.
Yeah.
Charles Minor would, you know, buying lunch for the office. Right. And Michael could do that. There's a great way to have lunch with your coworkers.
Yeah, yeah. C-shaped bagels. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Scranton
That's
area right. hot dog from Scranton.
That's right.
I do love that they cut to that little clip of like Michael and Pam and Ryan like outside eating out of a pizza box. And I love Michael ending that little talking head with, so rules be damned, I want to have lunch with these people.
I think for me, just in general, when this episode starts, I was actually very surprised with how much fun I kind of immediately had. This episode is so fun and so light, and it feels much more so than the rest of the series, frankly, just because if you think about the rest of season 5, there's been so many heavy episodes in season 5, including heavy competition. But you think about what happens with Michael and Holly and the forced breakup and her being relocated and moved back to Nashua, everything that happens with the Michael Scott Paper Company arc and Michael feeling this sort of discomfort with his role in the company. And then even when they come back together in Casual Friday, the episode before, he has to kind of go through the fact that they hurt each other, right? That he inadvertently hurt the people that he considers a family when he stole their clients. So after all of that, it's really nice to have one episode at the end of the season that's just fun. Like, I really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. It's quite literally a dance break between the whole end of that arc, and then after it comes Company Picnic and everything that comes after that. And this really is like, yeah, let's just take 20 minutes. Let's have a little recess, have a little dancing. We'll come back. We'll get back down to business. And that's essentially what Michael's trying to do this entire episode, is exactly what I just said, which is like, no work. So everyone stop. Come dance with me. And yeah, that's how it plays out, for better or for worse.
Yeah, it is funny how, like,
a little dancing. Beautiful day now. Would you like to get a cocktail?
No, it is funny how at the start of this episode,
it's stupid, but it's my thing now.
It is funny how at the top of this episode, it seems like everything is kind of okay. Like, I can't even think of a one problem that is still.
I mean, Michael's still locked into a lease.
Michael's still locked into his lease, and he misses Holly.
Holly is still in Nashua.
We haven't really heard about that in a minute now, though. It does. It seems like in Casual Friday, they kind of all made amends and they're all friends again. So it's.
Is this the last we see Ryan with frosted tips?
I believe
the
so.
Dyed hair.
Well, Company Picnic. Assuming he appears still in Company Picnic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yes, I think so.
That's still something wrong that's going on.
And before we go too deep, I wanted to say too that I watched the deleted scenes for this episode, and there is kind of another storyline that has been really cut out of the final version of this episode, which is that Kevin runs into
Lynn.
Oh, Lynn. Thank you. Kevin runs into Lynn like two or three times, and we see them making out at the end in Cafe Disco.
A forceful Lynn just throwing Kevin against the wall.
Right, right. So, yeah. So just to explain what happens in the deleted scenes, we get Kevin kind of sort of like traps her in the elevator to talk to her, and says that he swears she smells like bacon. And she's like, I don't smell like bacon. I didn't eat any bacon. And he's like, all right, well, whatever it is, I like it. And then like then she has a talking head where she's like, I did eat bacon today, but I don't think it's anybody's business. Like, is that but you know, he's kind of like, I know you.
Perfect deleted scene.
Yeah. And then he's kind of like, you know, I know you said that you just wanted to be friends. But otherwise, I would have invited you to have coffee with me at Cafe Disco. And she's like, well, we can have coffee as friends. So to then jump to the end where we see her forcefully making out with Kevin, it's like, you kind of, you know, she's playing hard to get for the whole episode. Mm. But there's a little bit more story there in the deleted scenes. Those are on YouTube.
I can see why they cut it, though, because you can just. It's like, you can just see them make it out and go, oh, okay, they got together.
It's enough. Easy. It's totally enough. And it does it. And it's a little weird when Kevin kind of like blocks her from getting, I think he like stands in front of the elevator door so that it can't close. And she's kind of like trapped in there.
that doesn't
really make him look very good there. While he's insisting that she smells like bacon.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Mm-hmm.
I do love in this episode that we have different characters go down one by one to check in on Michael for some different way. As Michael begins this episode somewhat alone, trying to invite people to come down, and there's sort of a group mentality where they won't go until kind of they all go. And then by the time they all go, Jim and Pam are like, well, we should stop by. So there is an element of that with Aaron coming down first. Michael's no work, no work. And then with Kevin, when he goes down to get the answer, they cut to Kevin struggling to make espresso. And
right after Michael says all you can eat espresso, Kevin went down there right after that.
Yeah. As he says to Aaron, got to stay dehydrated. That's rule number one. Mm-hmm. But I just love when Angela comes down and Michael says, hey, respect the lay.
Yeah.
Kevin says, yeah, respect the lay. Does the makeout session fall under respect the lay?
I would say so.
It must. Yes. The mistletoe of the summer.
There you go.
A lay.
You did remind me that we didn't really mention another storyline, which is Jim and Pam. Jim and Pam are going down to Youngstown, Ohio, to get a marriage license. So they're eloping, or at least they think they're going to.
Speaking of, I was just thinking about this yesterday before I rewatched this episode of Prep that we used to print out maps when we needed directions from one place to another.
Right.
And that's what they find, the printed directions to Youngstown, Ohio. And I was like, man, in high school, I remember like frantically trying to print it because I was late to something. And it was like, I need the directions.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane that we used to do
MapQuest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You print off directions and then follow them as you're driving like an insane person.
I do love too when Aaron finds the map, she comes up and says, hi guys, how you doing? Dwight goes, Aaron, how many times do I have to tell you? It is not necessary for you to ask us how we are doing every time you interact with us. Now, how can I help you?
It's a good point.
And then at the end of that, he's saying, or to obtain a learner's permit at age of 14 and a half instead of 15. Aaron, let me see your birth certificate. She's like, sure.
Dives into her.
She's so enthusiastic. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Anyway, go ahead.
Jim and Pam. Yes, deciding to elope and get married at the courthouse, and they're very just overly sweet, cloyingly sweet Jim and Pam way of like, oh, I looked at her while we were having cereal and said, you know what I want to do today? I want to marry you.
Yeah. Oh,
and they go for it.
It's sweet. Well, as someone who is currently
cool it.
As someone who is currently planning a wedding, or we've already postponed our wedding for the pandemic that is going on still, but I 100% sympathize with Jim and Pam. It's you want to throw something small and inexpensive, and then you got to pick who is coming to that, and eventually you're just like, let's just run down and do it right now.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
I think it would have been a smart call. I think it would have been a nice scene, actually, a nice way to end this episode. But instead, we get what we get.
You know what? I feel like we should just get into it.
You're right.
Why are we talking about this episode?
The airing of grievances.
Yeah. Would we spend an episode focusing on an episode? We've only generally done pretty big ones where there's big plot turns, big developments.
Right.
This one has none of those. This has no big plot turn. It has almost no big developments. Why are we talking about Cafe Disco?
Well, I've never really enjoyed the end of this episode. I just think it's a bit. I've talked about it before, like, you know, things being earned. You know, you watch certain friendships develop over the course of the show, and sometimes it feels like it was, you know, done well and deserved, and other times it's kind of just a gimme. I just think that everyone's being so nice to each other in the end of this episode and everyone's having fun together. I just don't think that we're there yet in terms of the office. I don't know. It always felt cheap to me. And it is something, you know, we've talked before about, or, you know, there's the term jumping the shark, if a TV show jumps the shark. And I think that's from
Happy Days.
Thank you. Where the Fonz actually jumps over a shark while he's surfing.
I think he's water skiing.
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone thought that that was the point at which the show had kind of like just become too ridiculous. It kind of loses its heart and soul. And I like to watch, I like to see the comedy that comes out of the struggle at Dunder Mifflin Scranton. And you know, people not getting along and not empathizing with each other and things like that. And instead, just all of a sudden, everyone is complimenting each other and joking around and dancing, and I just don't like it.
Along those lines, Sean, this is an episode that would never have happened on the BBC Office. Now, you could say that for a lot of the US Office episodes, but as close as they ever get to this in the BBC Office, where in season two, when Neil, they have the little charity dance and everyone's pitching in and it's actually going really well, that entire episode and scene is completely ruined by David Brent, who comes in and gives one of the best improv dancing.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's incredible.
That's how you want this to end, isn't it, Sean? Like, that's what you want, is everyone's having a nice time and Michael comes in and ruins it. And that's the exact opposite of what happens.
Isn't there a scene in the BBC Office where they all go to a club or a bar and there's like techno music playing?
Yes, it
and
ends
even Tim
very
is dancing. Yeah, no, it ends badly, but yeah.
Yeah. Right. It ends, it's very depressing, even the end of that. Although you do get the shot of Gareth in the background driving away on the back of a scooter that's not his. It's one of the hardest times I've ever laughed watching a TV show. But you're right. It does have that. But in this, you're right, Sean. This is all cotton candy by the end here. This is just everyone having a good time. And I'm going to be mediating this debate because I do agree with what you're saying here, Sean. And especially, I know specifically it comes down to the line that Dwight says, also, this song is fantastic, which I had a physical reaction to this time I saw it. I went, ugh.
Yeah.
It's not Dwight. It's just not Dwight.
It's not Dwight. I don't know if it's a fantastic song objectively.
Well, there's that too. There's that too. I think that's a valid point. That said, I also agree with Edwin that maybe that's what the show needed at this point, was just something like that. So how do you feel about this, Edwin? Does the show jump the shark?
Oh, good. I get to talk. This is good.
Great point, Edwin. Sean.
And that's your time. Yeah.
And that's 30 seconds.
Fair point. Yeah.
Conference room, 5 minutes.
I understand. All right, let's use this line as an example. So Dwight and Phyllis have had their exchange and they are at Cafe Disco.
Close your mouth, sweetie. You look like a trout.
Now that's the Phyllis I like.
It's not sweetie, it's Michael Scott. And the line Dwight says to Phyllis is, you need to dance to reduce lactic acid buildup. Also, this song is fantastic, right? Mm-hmm. And I understand if that moment makes you cringe. Obviously not a great line, and we made our point about the song. But I don't think that changes the comedic tone of the show in a way that we haven't seen before. It's just a kind of a line that ages really, really poorly. And I don't think a lot of the like content of this episode seems so out of place with what we've seen before. What we had in the previous episode, they're all wearing casual clothes, and there's a moment where Daryl pulls away that wall of paper and says, what have I told you about making forts in my warehouse? Like, the element of silliness has come so far.
Right.
And if you want to call, like, I don't know if it's a dedicated moment. I understand if this is the moment for where you see the show maybe decline in terms of content or in terms of quality or comedic tone, like that's okay. I personally don't necessarily think that. I also, whenever we have discussions like this, I feel like I come in on the side of positivity and everything's great and I love it all. And I do appreciate basically the large majority of it. I hate nitpicking. I hate spending time on things that I don't like about The Office. Sure. But I don't mean to say that it's all like sunshine and lollipops and stuff. Like this, like those lines aren't great, you know?
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying. Now that I've had my moment to talk, I've talked for quite a bit. So what do you
think? No.
No, I mean, I just would love Edwin to just like a 2 hour just rant, just ripping into The Office just to see if you could do it.
I'd pay money
to watch it.
I will put it on anyway. Our Patreon.
Oh, nice. All right. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, you can subscribe mm-hmm. for $5 a month and join us on Patreon for Edwin's.
We get dark Edwin.
Angry
monologues.
Rant. But there's even a line in here where Pam is, you know, they're about to go elope. And they're like, they don't realize that everyone's down in Cafe Disco. And they're like, they hear the music and they're like, oh, should we go say goodbye? It would mean a lot to them, which I'm already like, okay. who cares? But like, I thought you guys were just doing this for you two and not so worried about other people. But so they go into Cafe Disco and they, you know, are into it right away. And they say that they're going to stay. Pam says, this is so cheesy. Jim says, yes. Pam says, I like cheesy. Jim, me too. Pam, yeah, I think I may want a wedding. Jim, me too. Pam, really? Jim, yeah. It's just like, ugh.
When you read it that way, yeah.
No, it is.
Yeah. What more with feeling? Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, it's not that much different than that. I mean, except for they're dancing in the to the music. But yeah, I don't know. I just think and okay. Well, to the point about, you know, is this a moment where the quality of the show starts to dip? I don't really think that. You know, obviously, I love season 6 and season 7. Like, there's episodes after this that I love, and I don't think that they, like, lost their way and never found their way back after this. But,
every ride has an apex, which means, and I think it's, you could totally argue that whole, the Michael Scott paper company arc is some of the best writing, some of the best stuff we ever get on The Office. So at some point, if it is going to start to go down, you could say, yeah, that's the episode.
Yeah.
So I think there's a logical argument to be made there.
Well,
this is
the beginning of them trying things like this, like the lip dub episode, mm-hmm. or them dancing at Jim and Pam's wedding, or the finale where everybody's all good and dandy and friends. I just, you know, I almost, how about this? I might have accepted this episode as a finale. Say, like, you know, I don't want the show to be shorter. I still want it to be, you know, 8 or 9 seasons. But something like this, if they, you know, if it was all working up to just one nice little dance party where they all got along for one evening, that would have been a brilliant ending to the show for me. And instead we get it in the middle of the show and they're constantly returning to this, you know, everybody gets along, everybody's happy and understands each other and things like that.
Funny enough, how that here to bring up BBC Office again, that's basically how that the whole show ends with the Christmas special. Is it finally ends with just a brief moment where everything's okay,
right?
And they've accepted David Brent just as a friend for once,
right?
And the show's done right there, and it ends with the Jim and Pam characters finally kissing. That's it,
right?
You finally see them kiss and hold hands,
yeah,
and then it's over. And you could maybe do that here, where maybe throughout this, Michael and Holly have been texting and she just shows up at the very end to Cafe Disco, you know, and it's like it's something like that. I totally, yeah, you could make a finale here if you had to. I'd never thought about that before.
Yeah.
I think one thing that I'm kind of thinking about now is you mentioned that the characters all seem like they're friends and everybody's getting along. I think you could make the argument that this is a point in the show where the cast has been brought back together in the most significant way possible by bringing the two companies together, number one. And then I think we mentioned, is this the last time we see Ryan with frosted tips? Yes, because he doesn't get the job at the end of Casual Friday. Remember, Pam gets the job because there's that tension there. Right. So when you think about them coming back together, Ryan is gone for a couple episodes, and Ryan is probably the most polarizing figure in the show. They seem to have some deep-rooted feelings for Pam that come up in that Casual Friday episode. But now that they're back, they seem back together. They're united internally here, and then they get they're united externally in the next episode where they go against corporate in the volleyball game. Mm-hmm. So, and after this, that sort of long season long thing where the cast gets separate and brought back together. So, I mean, on its own, I think you can say, yes, it's a little weird that they all seem to get along so well, but it actually kind of makes sense now that they've come back and they've made amends, so to speak, in the previous episode.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we saw them go through the struggle. I get there could be an argument for that it is earned because we saw them all at each other's throats in the last episode. So,
I mean, they didn't completely come back. They didn't ever solve this sort of tension between Pam and Phyllis, for example.
Yeah.
Right. You used that line earlier and it made me think of it. And,
Close your mouth, sweetie. You look like a trout.
Yeah, exactly. Just because Pam and Michael seem to apologize and come back to the fold doesn't mean that they're all on great terms with each other. So I think whether or not it's earned is probably up for debate. Like we can have that question, you know, it's a fair question. Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it gets there, but I think maybe the show tries.
And another thing too, like I tried to find people who agree with me and I only really found like one post on Reddit.
It was like more like Crappe Disco.
Yeah, there you go.
And then you responded, "You're bad." You started playing Boy Hangover.
I did try to find people who agreed, but I could only find one Reddit post that was basically just saying like, "Hey, the Cafe Disco seems like a total filler episode." And it is. I mean, you know, there's not really major developments, you know. Jim and Pam are almost going to get married and then they don't. There's nothing happening with corporate. There's nothing of any real significance that happens. Including Kevin and Lynn getting together. It doesn't seem to really matter after this. But
Andy gets his ear pierced.
Man, that, you know what? This is the first time we've ever talked about that moment, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Usually we like, in terms of our random quoting and things, we'll cover most moments from the show, but this is a unique one, you know?
Yeah.
It's a strange tag to the episode because it's so funny. We, at the top of the show, we mentioned this is like a, or sorry, in the email that prompted this
Bridget
episode.
Bridget
said, like, this is a middle school dance. And it's like, yeah, our middle school dance is terrible. They're just the worst. And it's so funny that this ends with like doing a home ear piercing, which also feels very middle school. The whole thing of Michael feeling left out and wanting to be invited to a party and then trying to throw one, no one shows up. It is all very, very schoolyard stuff. But I come down in the middle of between the both of you on this one.
Yeah.
Look, like I said, if that line takes you out of it, that's fine. I totally get it. I generally enjoy this episode. The thing that I kept coming back to while I was rewatching this time was thinking that it really feels like Michael's wedding. Like, that's the episode that we don't get, the Michael and Holly wedding.
True.
And this is the one that felt the – because the person who's having the most fun at this event is Michael. And he's walking around. He's like, "Can you believe it? We're all here together."
Yeah.
And there's an element of fun that's there. And the cheesiness is certainly there. Michael, who loves the tickling and the ketchup fights, would certainly be into a big
tickling
cheesy
and
ceremony.
The giggling.
Yeah. And so I was kind of struck with that idea watching this scene.
And we get Michael, the same face he makes when he walks into the Sid and Dexter's for happy hour of like, "I can't believe this is happening."
Yeah.
We get Michael sort of his dreams coming true, which is people just show up to something he organized, including Jim and Pam, which is the big get, as always, for Michael. Yes. When they come in and he's just like, Jim, Pam, can you believe this? It's really happening.
How yeah. funny that they allude to that Michael says, you know, back in my day, this place was like Dave and Buster's. David,
yeah.
Yeah. He was hanging out, playing games, eating apps. Now it's like Dave died. And yeah. then later, he dates a manager of a pseudo Dave and Buster's.
Right, right. Sid and Dexter's. Yeah, yeah. I do like that part, too, when Michael realizes that people are down in Cafe Disco. And he's like, it's funny, you know, Cafe Disco's dead, but I can still hear the music. And Creed going, hey, I hear it too, boss.
The way Creed always saying boss is such a great little joke.
Yeah,
I love the way love that it. Creed does that. Yeah,
is he yeah. the only? He's the only one who calls
Daddy's
Michael
here for
boss.
You, my widow angels.
Andy, I think does.
Oh, you're right.
Or at least he calls Jim Tuna Boss.
Tuna yeah, boss man. He does
for my coworkers and my bro workers.
You will thank me when they spank thee.
Don't do this.
There is an Easter egg that I noticed kind of a while ago, actually. It's when Michael is he's eating lunch by himself, and he yeah. says, might as well be dinner. The sandwich he's eating is tomato bologna and ketchup.
Oh, my God. That's
you can
right.
see it. And oh I gosh. Remember I found this out, I don't remember how long ago, but not too long ago, within the last couple of years. And I went to the Dunder Mifflin subreddit to see if it had been posted. And yes, it had.
That's over. Awesome. That's yeah. awesome.
One last scene we didn't mention, which was this one.
I was just learning to love.
Yeah. Got to take out his batteries.
The way that he enters that scene with the tiny coffee cup and does that yes. bit about growing giant because look how tiny this coffee cup is. When he walks in, the way that he looks at the camera is so amazing and subtle. He walks in looking at the cast and his eyes just flicker to the camera as if to tell the camera, like, check this out. Like, it's so great. He knows what he's going to do. It's so great and so subtle. It really made me laugh.
I don't want to keep ripping on this last scene, but I do want to say too that, like, I mean, just Dwight's whole demeanor during this last bit, like, I can almost see Rainn Wilson, like, being like, what's my motivation here? Like, I'm just fine with everything now. Like, I don't know. He's like, he's just a bit of a prop in this, like, scene. Does that make sense? I don't know.
He's a bit of a horse doctor.
Yeah. That's what you mean. How that horse became that horse became a doctor, I'll never
thank
know.
You. Thank you. Thank you. Mean, another know. Joke from Dwight in this episode. He's just a regular doctor that shoots your horse in the head when it breaks its leg.
I agree that it's a little strange that Dwight comes in and is so happy to dance. That seems a little out of character for Dwight,
mm-hmm.
Especially considering how much Angela says that she doesn't agree with the general spirit of music. But Dwight has spent so much of his time treating Phyllis. That is, man, that's such a fantastic scene.
I do love that.
Yeah, where he runs down, he says, what's going on? Who's Philip?
Philip?
Yeah. Yeah. And then Michael says to that it's such an amazing exchange. Hold on, I'm gonna look it up.
He feeds her the carrot with an open palm.
Yeah, well, yeah. She tries to get up and he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Okay, so Dwight and Michael step out of the room. Michael says, oh, no, this is not good. Dwight says, yeah, back injuries are common. Not as common as knee injuries, but yes. more common than wrist injuries. Michael, I don't need you to give me a history lesson, okay? Dwight, what do you think history is? Michael, Michael, it's just we need to get her out of here because no one is going to want to go in there with a woman writhing around on the floor. Wait. But most importantly, we need to get her some medical attention. ASAP, stat. That he initially it's goes like, to the wrong place and then comes back to the right place. What do you think history is?
That's great. I do
Michael,
love
get your clouds right.
I do love too that they wheel Phyllis into the office on an office chair, and Oscar's like, "What happened to Phyllis?" And then you get Angela being like, "Can you please go can you please go back to work instead of masterminding these situations wherein we hurt ourselves?
Hey, Angela stays very consistent throughout this. You know, she just wants to clean up, and Michael says, no cleaning up. And she says, I'm not allowed to have fun.
You know,
there's that whole exchange. And Angela isn't budging throughout this whole thing. We eventually see her, which did feel very end of an office episode-ish, which is we just see Angela sort of tapping her foot a little bit, and Michael just takes that as a sign that he got to her.
Yeah,
that
right.
She has, you know, fun as much as Angela can.
Right, right.
I also love the lecture that Dwight gives, or that the tone of lecturing or instructing Dwight is very funny. Like when he gives the lecture about the forest, when he says, "This is oil," or in this episode, he says, "This is oil from the gland of an otter." it keeps their pelts waterproof while also sealing in heat. Mm-hmm. A majestic beast, so fast, so tender.
Yeah, and it's jerky 1/3 the following
year. I would like to nominate that as a drop. A majestic beast, so fast, so tender.
Oh, of course. Yeah, sure. Of course. Deal.
Oh my gosh, I do love though. Yeah, Dwight. I mean, you also get Phyllis confessing to Dwight that she thinks that Bob Vance is sleeping with his receptionist. And as soon as she says it, she starts laughing. And Dwight's kind of there to be a friend to her. And I mean, you know, we can't forget the times when Dwight went to Phyllis when he and Angela were having mm-hmm. Relationship problems. So it's nice to see that Dwight was able to return the favor to Phyllis and kind of be there for her to talk out her issues. There's a lot of great stuff in this episode.
The conversation they're having about snakes that we just cut right back into. Incredible.
That's right.
Yeah. Have you heard the fan
she's
theory
like,
that
the rattler, because the rattler's so scary. She's getting it out of the bag.
Have you heard the theory that Jessica, Bob's secretary or assistant, is the child that Phyllis gave away?
Yeah. I think I have heard that. That's mm-hmm. good. I like that.
Feeling threatened.
So I guess as we look to kind of, I mean, you can stop me if there's more that you want to talk about this episode, but as we look to sort of wrap up or dovetail to bring this together, how do you feel like your opinion has changed at all for any of the three of us after rewatching or having this discussion?
I mean, I'll just say that, like, I think I've always been, you know, just in our conversations off the mic, you know, I think sometimes I've been like, you know, that's like the worst episode in the whole show. It's really not. It's really a good episode for most of it. So I'll just say that it's just that final scene that I don't know. I don't, there's plenty of times too when you get, a Christmas party in season two, they're having fun together. They're listening to music. But there's still jokes, and it still isn't like everyone patting each other on the back and all these other, I mean, so I'm just, I think that they missed the mark. The writers missed the mark on this one for me personally. I think that it just was a little overly corny, a little overly cheesy for me, but ultimately a good episode.
I think it's important to look a little more critically at the show. I love the show so much, and I'm so inclined to just kind of go with whatever it is. I think it is important to be a little bit more critical of certain lines or certain moments. And I would agree that, especially with those Dwight lines, they feel kind of out of character for Dwight. And it's interesting to see that it's really small, and it's a very fine line. So it's very easy for a character to be written slightly out of character. Would Dwight mm-hmm. really say that in that moment? Probably right. not. I think we agree on that much. But it is interesting. And then to your point, like, okay, let's compare Christmas Party in this episode. Christmas Party is super organic. It all spun out of Michael trying to save the day of this Christmas party that he ruined by buying a bunch of vodka and letting them all mm-hmm, drink. Mm-hmm. And that kind of leads to this more fun environment. And that feels a little more organic than Michael has an office space with an espresso machine and a stereo system. And by the end of a work day, everyone is just dancing for fun. Down in the basement of a warehouse. That seems a lot less organic and a lot less believable.
At 3:15 p.m.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Also, this is, I've said this before on the show, but just because we can't go through this episode without saying, the only episode in the entire series that has a scene without any cast member in it, that's, of course, the two Vance refrigeration guys saying, hey, there's girls
yeah,
in there.
That's right.
For that
that's
reason, right. It's weird that they left that in there, that yeah. wasn't a deleted scene. I guess you just had to get them in the room. Aaron invites a friend that we don't know anything about her. That's just sort of random.
Right.
We get Lynn just sort of is there. All of a sudden, they're making out. A little strange.
Can we also acknowledge that the Vans refrigeration guys are there immediately after they start dancing? Like, they can't have like a minute to dance and have fun before there's some dude there with an apple.
You know? Yeah, right. I know.
In terms of expediting the story, I get it. But like in the moment, I was like, like, what do you know? Like, they try to have fun by themselves for 1 second. And like, what do you know? There's some dude there. Yeah.
The tag of the episode with the ear piercing is very strange. So I'll say this. I don't answer your question. After this episode, I've lost a little respect for Cafe Disco. It's now gone down in the episode rankings in my book.
Fair.
So I'm with you, Sean. Just a little bit.
I'm going to get and everybody on my
the
side.
The last thing I'll say about it is they could have injected... I wish this episode, at some point, we would see that Michael was reminded about Holly at some point. Whether that was Michael having a moment, looking around at everyone and maybe checking his phone
and she's
or thinking
like
about calling her or something and he doesn't. Or just having a moment where he's wrestling with like, hey, everything's perfect now. Everyone's dancing, but it's not perfect for Michael.
Yeah.
And it's weird to say, hey, I wish they would have done this because they didn't. It's the show that it is, but I thought they could have injected a little bit of that.
I think you're absolutely right.
It would be very difficult to do well without poisoning the well, so to speak.
Yeah.
It would be really hard to write. I think I would hate in this to have this moment ruined by him feeling sad. But I wonder if there isn't a possibility of a line where he says, oh, could this day get any better?
Yes.
Or something. And somebody's like,
not ending with him being sad, but him being sad and then this maybe rescue him at the very end.
Like we kind of got a version of that with Blood Drive earlier in the season. But
a little bit.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Well, any final thoughts on Cafe Disco?
No, I think we're there.
Yeah.
I want to know. Yeah, everybody, let us know what you think. Jane's gang, come through.
Yeah. Come on. Where are my Roniacs at? I want to see a fight.
Yeah.
I am your big daddy. And I am going to kiss the boo-boo.
All right, conference room, 5 minutes.
That means conference room, 5 minutes. No, 5 seconds.
All right, for this week's conference room, this question comes from Jenna. She says, hey, guys, love the podcast and listen to it all the time. I was catching up on last week's episode and love the question about cringy moments of the show. Okay, here we go. One moment I can't get through is the sketch that Michael and Holly do during Company Picnic. Too cringy to watch. I love that. Also love when Meredith yells, yeah, Madden, during the volleyball scenes. It's right up there with Bob Vance saying, ship leader and winner. Anyways, thought I'd share, love the pod, and we'll continue to listen. Thanks. So that made me think, first of all, thanks, Jenna, for listening, of course, and for writing in.
1,000.
Yeah. but that got us thinking about and you know what? This is a question or a topic or an idea that a couple of different questions or have kind of gotten at, which is memorable quotes or one message phrased it as non-musical earworms, which I loved as a phrase. I couldn't find the message, but anyway, I think we were just going to do some quotes that you find yourself saying, or maybe that you say to your friend or partner, or maybe people in everyday life and they don't get it.
I do like that. The non-musical earworms, just things you can't ever get out of your head. And every time something even comes close to being in orbit of a quote, I say it in my head to myself. That's how I look at
there,
it.
I want to give you a real life example. This happens to me all the time. When I was traveling, I was in Europe with my sister a few years ago now. We went to go see a basketball game. It was FC Barcelona against another Spanish league team. And the announcer, their best player is Juan Carlos Navarro. And whenever we'd make a three, the announcer would go, Tres de Juan Carlos. And another guy on the team would make a three and go, Tres de Oleson. And so for like 2 weeks, I couldn't stop saying it. My sister could not, she just couldn't handle it. She was so upset with me by the end.
Absolutely.
Preste Juan Carlos. Yeah.
The women in my improv class absolutely hate him.
But anyway, personal anecdotes aside, what are some of your favorite non-musical earworms?
All right, here's one for you. Do you know when this is from? We could just give him a chance. It's not much money.
It's an investment club, not a handout club.
Yeah, that's right. The old woman in Dream Team.
Wow,
that's a good one.
Deep in the archives, yeah. Dude. I'm proud of you. That's good.
I think about that one from time to time.
Uh huh. My number one draft pick for this is a simple one, which is just yeesh.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is something my cousin Mike brought up years ago when we were first talking about the show, and he says that a lot, and then I started saying it, and it's just it's one of those things I start to respond to people that I don't know that well with it, and I have to stop. It's like, yes. Yeesh. That's what I really
think. There are a handful of little things like that that inflect into our text threads when we were trying to talk about the show. Yappers and Perfektenschlag, I feel like, are two that
Yappers, are easy to text into. Yeah. I also, in texting before this show, I sent another one, which is cool, box it up.
Yeah.
That's,
I love that.
Every time I Christmas say cool, party. Or like, cool. In my head, I finish it with cool, box it up.
I actually had that one written down. The first one I had written down was, it's Erin, and she just says, why would I hide it? Don't
that's
you
a good
do
one.
Yeah.
Since last week, one of Erin just going, fun. Yeah. that one stuck in my head, too.
Cucoleche.
Cucoleche. Fun.
Yeah. I mean, I've mentioned these before. I think there's three of them. There's a great idea, Dwight. Yeah. What do you say, Jim? Want to play some soccer? And then he's like, and then he finishes it off with, I can't wait.
I love that all three are Charles Minor, and all three are from the same episode.
From the same scene, almost. Yeah,
killing it.
That's great.
I love those three.
Yeah.
One that sticks with me, maybe because I don't like the way it's said, is "You bought me a house."
Yeah.
You guys ever notice that one?
All the time. Yeah. You know, I think about it. I think about it way too much. I don't like it.
Yeah.
It sticks in my craw. No doubt.
That's like when Jim has the butt dial voicemail from Pam, and they're like, you can take the girl out of Philly. And she goes, Scranton.
Yeah, Scranton. I get the specific sound Michael makes like this.
Yeah.
That sound is plays in my head a lot. I want to react to things with that, and it's hard to do.
There are two more like that with Michael that I'm just thinking of now. When Meredith flashes him in Christmas Party, he goes, he just breathes out loudly and takes a picture. Or when Dwight comes in and tells him that the offer was fake, he goes, why are you torturing me?
Yeah, why are you torturing me? When Michael is doing his finger out of his zipper and he flashes Toby and then he goes like, they have the whole exchange thing, goes, how do we know Toby's not, you know, the flasher? Show us your penis. Just that, that line sticks in there for me.
That makes me think of, maybe this is not an earworm, but just Michael, when he's doing the Houdini. And I think Edwin pointed this one out. He's like, I'm going to count down from three.
The line before Dwight says, where he says, ever since the storm, the way Dwight says, oh yes, just that simple, oh yes, that's stays with me a lot. Yeah. Oh yes.
How about, you are a dream maker, and I thank you. Thank you. That one's always stuck with me too. Scott's time.
A Dwight one. I'm just thinking of it now. The like when he says Jim and I on behalf, and Jim says too loud, too loud,
too loud. Yeah.
What about this one? Message received, little soybean.
Oh, yeah, that's Andy to Pam.
That comes from the episode with the best musical earworm, which is Apple Bottom Drilling. Where are you?
Yeah. Where are you? Yeah.
Sweet 102.
Doodly doo. This, although I talked about this at Happy Hour a lot, my least favorite bit in the show, but this is an earworm, probably because I don't like it so much, is Kevin.
Mommy!
Oh, God.
Just the pitch that he has for that is really harsh. It stays with me.
I think one of the original sort of moments like this is, boy, have you lost your mind? Because I'll help you find it.
Find it? Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And did I stutter?
Yeah. Oscar saying, as it were, when he's talking about the rational consumer, that sticks with me. Like, I want to say that. I want to say, as it were, after more of the things I say in daily life.
The last one I had written down is from Stanley, and it happens whenever I think about this episode.
You've been meatballed.
Not that
it's,
one?
Ooh, look at that baby.
Ooh.
Wait, remind me what that
is. It's in Stairmageddon in season 9, and they have to take Stanley on the Stales call.
Oh,
and
right.
So, like, they're on the call, and Stanley picks up the picture of, like, the client's family.
Yeah.
He says, ooh, look at that baby.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. I didn't have any more written down myself. You guys got any more?
That's all I had. I mean, we could go on for a long time.
I think so. I think we could have a part two to this one. It's somewhere.
You know
down
what?
The line.
I'm just
going to
start writing them down, and every so often on this, we'll just check in and have more. I'm sure people. We're probably going to get an avalanche of things people have said.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And send them in.
I would love. Please call in while you're and repeat the line.
You do
if
them.
You can.
That'd be awesome.
Don't look
actually.
Up
yeah.
the script.
That'd be amazing.
Don't look up the script. Get it perfectly. And don't come at us with this, hey, you guys missed. Oh, hey, you guys missed this one. How could you guys have forgotten this one? I don't want that, okay? What I want is what you think, just without any of the baggage and without any of the nitpicking, all right? I'm tired of it, okay?
You guys can say whatever you want.
Yeah,
we don't
fine.
Care.
Yeah.
We don't care.
We need to come up with a different location for the earworms or for the quotes. I mean, we've got conference corner or conference room, quarantine corner. This could be like earworm nook,
earworm alley.
Yeah.
Dwight's earworm cafe. Dwight's gym for earworms. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Let's move on.
Creed.
Creed's worm. Creed's earworm.
Oh,
guy.
There
we there go.
You go.
Creed's earworms.
Earworm guy.
Cool. All right. Let's move on to trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Woo! All right, y'all, this is Listener Submitted Trivia. I am thrilled that we have set a tsunami in motion that will not end, which is people sending us trivia. We don't have to do it. This is so awesome. We
That's
finally
awesome.
Made it. This one comes from Katie Lawrence, who sends this in a beautifully well-crafted, thorough, extensive trivia from the Donna arc throughout season 6.
Nice.
So these will be. I'm not even going to do all of this. We should save some for later because there's a lot. But anyway,
cool.
Yes. I'm going to start from the bottom and go up just for fun. So going from The Chump, the episode The Chump. Easy ones here to start with. What band's songs are the ice cream flavors? Aaron buys for Michael, referencing, and what are the flavors?
Oh, the Eagles.
Yes.
Witchy Woman Nella.
Yes.
Kick It to the Limit.
No.
It's not. It's something like that, right?
Well, there's that. There's one more.
Oh. Desperado.
Desperado. Very, very good. What is Donna's husband's name?
Brian?
No. Starts with an S.
Seth.
Starts with an SH.
Shane.
Sheamus.
Shane is correct. Very good.
Yes.
Similarly, what fake name does Andy call Michael when he calls him over to talk to Donna's husband?
Oh, my God.
I'll give you a hint.
Uh-huh.
Same hint as the last trivia question.
Sean?
Starts with an SH.
It's not Sean.
No. shares the name with another sitcom star character. Starts with an SH. Contemporary sitcom, even bigger than The Office.
Oh.
Oh. Seinfeld.
There was a spinoff show called Young Blank about this.
Sheldon.
Oh, yeah.
Sheldon. Very good.
The clues, it's hard to think while you're doing the clues.
I know. That's why I'm doing it. I'm trying to muddy the waters here.
That's good.
What actresses does Andy refer to when comparing his and Michael's cheating in their relationship situations? And what movie is he referencing?
So it's Ali Larter and yes. Beyonce.
Yes.
And the very movie good. Is called, it's like Relentless or Hopeless or something like it's called something like that.
Obsession.
Obsession.
Yes, very good. All right, from the cover up.
Okay.
What are the three ways that Michael says that he and Donna have connected?
Mentally, emotionally, orally.
Almost emotionally, sexually, and orally. Okay. Ugh. So gross. Yeah. Okay. This is oh, we'll do that one later. What is Dwight's plan to figure out if Donna is cheating?
Oh,
he says it quickly.
Oh, to seduce yes. her, bring her to yes. climax, and then
call Michael.
And then
yes,
deliver
yes,
Michael.
Yes. Bring her to orgasm, and then call Michael to deliver the news. Yes. What is the name of the gym that Dwight follows Donna to? Ooh. This is hard.
Is no it way. Dwight's gym for muscles? I don't know.
No, it's Flexopolis.
Nice.
Flexopolis. How many power bars did Dwight eat, and what food doesn't he trust?
He doesn't trust protein powder.
No.
Protein shakes?
No.
Something like that?
Egg whites.
Okay. Yes. And 16, he had 16?
Eight power bars. Yep. All right. Here's a crazy one. Name all the places that Kelly lists that Donna could have gotten her earrings from.
Claire's. Earrings.
Yeah.
I got two. I don't know. What are the others? Or how many other? Yeah.
There's
so many. All right. It's Claire's, Zales, Ricky's, Earrings, Fancy Girl, Platinum Cat, Franklin Mills, King of Prussia, Springfield, Governor's Place.
It was the last one. Franklin Mills.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Just
one. I'm happy I got two.
Yeah, you got them. And what concert does Michael tell Donna he wants to take her to?
Weird Al.
And who's opening for Weird Al?
Prince.
No. I feel like it's probably
somebody that Michael would love.
Yeah, it's probably your gut answer. Just if you took a random guess, you'd probably
Tom
get
Petty.
This right. No, no, no.
What is it?
No, it's the Spice Girls opening for Weird Al.
Oh, I would. Oh man, my gut answer was.
I know. Was I was like, I know you're thinking
yeah,
Spice Girls.
Yeah.
All right. What are the reasons? What are the reasons that Ryan tells Michael that could prove that Donna is cheating? So Ryan gives Michael. A
Does
list
she keep
of,
your phone locked around you?
Yes.
Does she shower before sex? Does she shower after sex?
Yes.
Does she keep yes. perfume in her purse?
There's two others.
I don't know. What is it?
It's watches how much she drinks.
Okay.
And leaves the room when taking a call. All right, you know what? Let's just keep going with this here. What color? This is from Body Language. What color is Donna's car?
Red.
It is red. You know the make and model.
I thought it was it's a crossover, isn't it?
I'll give you a hint. It's my car.
Correct. Oh, it's a RAV4.
It's a Toyota RAV4. What does Pam call Donna in her talking head in this episode?
Little Miss Boob Shirt.
Very good. When the bullpen is observing Donna and Michael talking in the conference room, what are the two things that Creed says a human can ooze?
Sexuality and pus.
Yes, very good. Very good. So disgusting. So true.
So true, though.
What is Donna's last name?
Oh. Starts with a B?
Nope. Starts with an N.
Newman.
Newton. Very good. Yes, it is Newton.
Hey.
All right, from Happy Hour. Well, we know where Donna works. What is the name of the security guard that Donna calls over?
She's like, so
Frank.
So,
are we having fun? I brought this up during Happy Hour.
I know you did. I know you did. Like Frank or Tom or.
It's a one syllable. Yeah.
A one syllable name. Mm-hmm. Seamus.
Ted.
Seinfeld.
Ted, we having fun? Yeah. All right, when.
Ted.
When the security guard asks Michael what his problem is, what does Michael say?
Homelessness.
Yes, very good. Very good. Oh, and the last one, when explaining about Somehow I Manage, what book does Donna ask Michael if he's read?
Lee Iacocca.
Oh, Lee Iacocca. Very good. That does it for the Donna arc trivia.
That was wonderful. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you again to Katie for all that trivia.
A good By the way, mix there's some questions more that we can get and that aren't.
Yeah, it's a nice
that
mix.
Aren't pretty difficult. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a few other trivias floating out there we haven't done yet, but don't worry. We see them. We're getting to them.
We are definitely getting to them. And if you have trivia that you'd like to share with us, please send it our way. Email it to us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can call us up and give us your earworms over the phone. We love to play the messages on the show, 503-694-9314. Hit us up on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. Hit us up on Twitter at Michael Scott Pod. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. You can send us messages there, or you can join us on Patreon as a Scott's Tot for $5 a month, patreon.com/Michael Scott. You'll get a special mailbag episode
coming this week. This month will be coming out this week. And now we're only going to be answering questions coming in through Patreon. So if you want something that's been burning desire or weird, it doesn't matter how weird, whatever, we're going to answer them all in there. So get into Scott's Tots. Get that bonus episode. I think, Sean, you're still working on some of our YouTube videos that we'll be putting up there, so you can see us on there.
Definitely. And we got more stuff coming. Mm-hmm. We've been planning on doing some more stuff with y'all on the Patreon. We're just so thankful for all you guys for supporting us.
Really quick, guys. I have an idea, and we could talk about this later, but I want to bring this idea up now so that we'll probably have to do it someday. But I think we could do a trivia special with fans. I think we could bring in. Fans can apply to this. They can come in, and we'll have them on Zoom, and we'll have ourselves a good old-fashioned throwdown. We're going to be doing basically Top Chef, but with Edwin, or Master Chef, where Edwin's the Master Chef, and you have to challenge him.
I prefer Top Chef, actually.
Top Chef, deal.
Yeah.
Top Chef trivia with Edwin about The Office.
Pack your paper and go.
Yeah. So if you think you can take Edwin down, send us an email and tell us why.
This is all of us.
No. You know why. Well, anyway, you know why it's just that. You know why it's just you. Don't act like you don't know. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, special thanks to all of our Scott's Touch. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who helps out with our social media and does our artwork. And this episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon, over video chat. During the pandemic, of course, still in the midst of that. I hope y'all are staying safe and
healthy out
there. Wear your masks. And we love y'all. Thank you all so much.
This is a place to see the ones that you love, to love the ones that you see. But thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Pippity poppy, give me the salad.
Yes, sir.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.